Thank you indeed, Brother Greg, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. We find ourselves in the song, and it is indeed the song of songs. There is nothing like it. And it stands out in the scriptural record as unique. It is entirely encouraging and uplifting. And it is a delight that we should spend just a few moments with it this morning as we consider the one before us, the one whom we will remember as we receive the cup and partake of the loaf. And so the writer of the song said in what is our second chapter, "I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys." And this is the voice of the bride. And as we look through the song, we can equate the bride with the congregation of the righteous. And by God's mercy and grace, my brothers and sisters, we are amongst that group of people. And we can exclaim also along with this song that we are indeed a rose. And we are amongst the lilies. But was it not the Lord Jesus who said concerning the lilies that they neither toil nor spin, but Solomon in all of his glory couldn't be compared to one of these? The lilies are God's unique creation. And while it might be difficult for us to contemplate this, we are a part of that creation. And even though we might seem the least worthy, we've been called to be a part of the lilies of the valley and a part of the vineyard that is spoken of here in this song. And in verse 2 of this second chapter, he says, "As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." A lily among thorns. And this is the bridegroom now who is speaking. And surely as he sees his bride, he sees his love. He sees that the lily indeed is one who grows up amongst thorns. And this speaks of the trial and the difficulty that we all must go through. Yes, indeed, we can be the rose of Sharon. We can be the lily in the valley. But we know that we must undergo difficulties and trials. And trials and difficulties touch us all in different ways. It has touched the righteous down through the ages in different ways. Some of them have even been persecuted unto death. But what are our trials? And what are our difficulties? So he says, "Is my love among the daughters." Our Lord recognizes what we go through. As he sees us amongst the daughters, those who make up his bride, he sees our difficulties. He understands our challenges. But above it all, there is a great expectation in this song. Indeed, it is a song of love. But it's a song of the expectation of the one who will appear upon the mountains. The one who is there ready to appear before us. And his song sings out of his love and the joy that he has in his bride. And the bride echoes in response to that love. But alas, sometimes the bride falls short. Sometimes the bride is found wanting in her expectation of the bridegroom. Sometimes the bride becomes complacent and although her hands have dipped into the myrrh of the covenant, she's found not quite ready when her Lord appears. But in verse 3 of that second chapter, we find that the bride sits among the trees, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And this is what it's like to be in the presence of the bridegroom. And the bride exults in the fruit that she enjoys as she sits underneath this tree. As she sits beneath the apple that gives forth its fruit. And isn't that so true? For any one of us, as we come into the presence of the bridegroom, that we share that sweetness of the fruit that can only come from him. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. But when we get away from the shadow of that fruit tree, we lose that delight. The fruit is no longer a sweet fruit. It is no longer sweet to the taste because we have strayed, we've lost the presence of our Lord. We've lost that unique fellowship by being in his presence. And how is it, my brothers and sisters, that we can so often experience the lack of being in his presence? But he brings us to the banqueting house. And here we are today. One more time, my brothers and sisters, we are here at the banqueting house. We are here to share in that wonderful feast, that wonderful fellowship that only he can give. But notice what covers us in this banqueting house. It is the banner of love. His banner over me was love. Stay me with raisins. Comfort me with apples. And so is our fellowship with this one who gives forth plenteously of his fruit. This is where we are. We are the offspring of the vine. Stay me with flagons or with raisins. Or grapes. And we know as we come here today that he is the vine and we are the branches. And as the branches of the vine, we are here to give forth fruit. But very shortly we shall take that small cup. And in that small cup, there is just a little bit of wine. And as we receive that wine, we know that that wine has come from a grape. From many grapes. And that grape that produced that wine came forth from a branch. And the branch came forth from the vine. And as that vine produced the sap that went into the branches and nourished those branches which brought forth the grape had to be selected. It had to be chosen. But it was chosen after its time of nourishment and the influence of the sun. But before that grape could ever become the wine in the cup, It had to be crushed. It had to go through a time of trial. And doesn't that speak to us very clearly of the one who poured forth his own blood, who gave it all in a period of immense trial to show us how we can receive the ultimate delight. And all the while, as we receive this cup, and as we contemplate what it speaks to us in its very clear message, we understand. We understand the significance of being in the banqueting house, sharing in this rich banquet, but always overshadowed with the banner of love. In verses 8 through 12, the voice of the bride, she says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh in at the windows. He showeth himself through the lattice." It's not quite clear yet, because he's not right in our presence at this moment, as you understand. But his coming is being spoken of. It's clear in the voice of prophecy. It's clear in the word of God that his coming is imminent. He is there and his voice is going forth. Yes, indeed, he is leaping upon the mountains. His expectation is that he will soon be with his bride. And the bride, as she exults in the prospect of his appearance, she says, "He looketh in at the windows. He showeth himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And there we are. We're about to be taken away. About to be taken away from everything that is this life. Taken away from our material world and all of its attractions. To be taken away to that place where our bridegroom will reign from Zion. When the word of the Lord shall go forth from Zion, and his law from Jerusalem. He is coming. My beloved is mine. And so in verse 16, "And I am his," says the bride. "He feedeth his flock among the lilies." And this is where we feed today, as we feed among the congregation of God's people. As we feed amongst God's special creation. And he is the one, the beloved is the one who has given us to feed in this place. It is through him that we are called to be here. It is through him that we have the privilege of being with his people, with his chosen, with his disciples, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Be thou, my beloved, like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. And so this introduces the chapter that is our reading for today. And so we find ourselves in this very unique position. But now we're taken into our own chamber in chapter 3. As we read in verse 1, by nights on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. By night on my bed. And this speaks of the disciple, the one who is in love with his Lord, the one who is in anticipation of that great day to come when our Lord shall return, the one who meditates not only by day but also by night upon this wonderful prospect. Can we, our brothers and sisters, as we contemplate this great day, can we even begin to imagine? And as we contemplate these things in the night watches upon our beds, how encouraging it is to read of these things in the Word of God as we have it in Isaiah, for example. And I'm now turning to the 26th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, and this is what he says. For here also was one who sought the Lord in the night watches. And 26 of Isaiah, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And that is our whole desire. Our desire is that the whole world will learn righteousness. And what a prospect, my dearly beloved in Christ, that we shall be a part of that multitude. Can we appreciate, even begin to comprehend the greatness of this blessing that is ours? And so, we come to the next part of that verse, where the bride says, I sought him, but I found him not. And what has happened? And sometimes this will happen in our lives, that we don't feel quite as close as we once did. We are no longer in the shade of that apple tree, receiving the benefits of the fruit, the wonderful fruit that the bridegroom is offering to us, because we have become distracted in our walk. Things have drawn us aside, so that our vision is no longer as sharp as it once was. We're no longer feeling quite as anxious to see our Lord as we once did. And so the bride says, I will rise now and go about the city. And so there is a renewed desire to find the bridegroom. And so she goes into the streets and in the broad ways. She says, I will seek him whom my soul loves. So deep within each one of us there is this love to see our Lord. But sometimes we just do get distracted. The watchmen that go about the city found me. And the bride says, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. They were no help. She couldn't find her bridegroom amongst these men. Does this refer to the priests of Israel, who were so concerned with upholding law that they didn't see the reality of Messiah? Does it refer to the dark ages of the church when men were led astray from the truth? And do we find in the verses that follow a discovery of the wonders of God's word, the wonders of the coming kingdom, the wonders of the coming of Christ? I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him, she says. I held him and would not let him go. And surely that must be each one of us. We cannot let him go. My brothers and sisters, if we have found Christ and we are walking in him, let us never let him go. Never, ever let him go. Until, she says, I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. And this is the consummation of the relationship. It's wonderful. This is a renewal by the bride. This is a recommitment. And if today we need to make a recommitment, let's make it. If we need to be revitalized in the things of truth, let it be now. And let the bread and the wine speak to us of that wonderful relationship that we have with our Lord, that we would only desire to take him in and we would want to consume him completely. Because this is the language of the bride. She will never let him go until that day. And that day is spoken of in the book of Revelation, the wonderful words that we know well. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God and all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunders, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And that is the day we want. And that is the day for which we hold on dearly to our beloved. Let us be glad and rejoice. Or if I'd read the revised version, let us rejoice and be exceeding glad. Let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And here we are today, my brothers and sisters, making ourselves ready, getting prepared in the banqueting house, overshadowed with the banner of love, enjoying the fruits of our fellowship with our Lord and with our Saviour. Yes, Isaiah also said that I will greatly rejoice. In his 61st chapter, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with the jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And there we are. And there we are as we see it in glorious vision. And it's all here. In this Song of Songs. But we must get ourselves ready. Who is this that cometh? says the bride. Out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, or peaceful. 70 valiant men are about it, and the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon, or peaceful, made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it purple, the midst thereof being paved with love. For the daughters of Jerusalem. It's all been done for the daughters of Jerusalem. For the bride. Go forth, he says. Go forth, says the song, O ye daughters of Zion. And behold, King. And I would change King Solomon there to the King of Peace, for Solomon means peaceful. With the crown wherewith his mother hath crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. With myrrh and with frankincense. With sacrifice. And with an offering up. And that's what we see in these two things, in the myrrh. We see that it was brought to the child Jesus. It was also taken by Nicodemus at the end. The frankincense was spoken down through the centuries, right back through to the time of the tabernacle. The prayers of the saints, the prayers of the faithful that are offered up to God. Firstly in that holy place, but continuing to be offered up in every holy place. And so as he offered up his incense, which was accompanied with the myrrh of sacrifice, of suffering and of death. So we today will offer up ourselves. We will give ourselves up in sacrifice for him who has shown us the way. We will give ourselves up for the benefit of our brothers and our sisters, for his people, for his bride. For we have committed to preparing ourselves for his coming. And we will do whatever it takes to be ready on that day. But it's not just me. It's you, my brother and my sister, that I will strive for. And maybe you for me. That together as the multitudinous bride of Christ, we will appear before him in glory. And in the day of the gladness of his heart. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken for thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved.